You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, May 11th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside CCM Baseball's Matt Modica, the Fantasy Executive, and Scott the King Angle. My name is Greg Sussman. We got the next 2 hours for you, and we try to have a little fun along the way. What's going on, Scotty?
How you doing there, Greg? What's going on?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Another interesting basketball game last night, and looks like it's going to go. It's going to go seven, but you know that it's going to be very tough for the Wizards. The Wizards have not won a playoff game in Boston since 1982.
But like to me, that's just a BS stat. Cause how many playoff games have they played in Boston since 1982?
I think they're 2-5. Overall in Boston.
So 2-5 overall in Boston.
Probably was the Bullets for one of those games.
Hold on. 2-5 in Boston. They played 3 games thus far this year. So they've lost 3 games. So basically, going into this series, they were 2-2 in Boston in the last 25 years.
They lost their last 7 at Boston, like coming into last night.
I just find that stat to be like such a BS stat. It's like 2-5 in Boston playoffs. Great. Since 1982. They played 3 of those games this year.
It shows you how much they haven't really made the playoffs, too.
Or they haven't played Boston in the playoffs.
Well, Boston would make the playoffs a lot. Washington wouldn't.
But having them matched up is a totally different thing.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, with this series, it looks like it's going to go 7 because every team that seems to be on the home court, you know, but although Wall was saying it depends on who's more physical, but last night it was a thing of, you know, not physical, but, you know, Boston shooting some well for the outside. And what an admirable performance by Avery Bradley.
Yeah, great night from Avery Bradley. Maddie, what's going on?
It was a big night last night in sports. 2 game 7s. I mean, Capital fans got to be crying.
Yeah,
we found out
that Alex Ovechkin is the only Russian in Washington that has no influence.
Yeah, pretty. That was a good one.
That was actually very good.
Knocked that one out of the park.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it. What's up, Fantasy Executive?
I'm good. I'm chilling. Doing Fantasy Executive style things. You know what I'm saying? So, this guy, Aaron Althier.
Yeah.
I love him. I picked him up. I outbid Adam Ronis. Picked him up, and now I had the lead over Adam Ronis and Tout Wars.
Aaron Althier.
I love him.
In 3 consecutive games, three-run homers.
Let me tell you about this guy.
They don't call him Triple A for nothing.
Oh, it was great!
Look at that.
Boom.
Let me tell you something right now about this guy. He's my man crush.
He's your man crush?
Yes.
We didn't even welcome him to the team. You didn't even let us welcome him.
No, we didn't welcome him. Look, Jeff's over there. Do we have an injury to report on today?
We got two.
Ryan Braun and Hanley Ramirez.
Nice. I'll go get it.
Speaking of injuries, how about Robinson Cano? I guess he was feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Robinson Cano, he's going to get hurt again fooling around like that.
You said he was going to miss 3 weeks, Doc.
The player should be resting, Scott.
Yeah.
When he goes back on the DL.
He hit a home run yesterday.
We'll remember this day.
We'll remember this day is for sure.
4
it
hits.
It will go down in infamy. When we return on the Roto Experts, a lot of baseball talk to get to. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King grooving this morning.
Living in America.
That's what we are, for sure. And he's clapping as well. That's what you can do. Hey, we got Jeff coming up in a little bit to go over last night's injuries, and of course, excited about that. No Dr. A today. It's a Wednesdays, but we have
the fantasy executive
who diagnosed Robinson Cano out for a month, and he hit home run yesterday. But hey,
listen,
we'll give him another shot.
Let me tell you something. If the player decides he doesn't want to take the doctor's advice and rest properly when he lands back on the DL because he re-injures aggravates his quad, then I don't want to hear nothing. I want you gentlemen to apologize to me when Robinson Cano goes on the DL with an injured quad in about 2 weeks from now. All right, so just. Listen, do you want the injury advice or not? Huh? Huh? Do you want it or not?
We will take the injury.
Thank
advice.
You.
From just don't be putting on any gloves.
From Dr. Ray.
He's a good doctor. I like him.
Yeah. Is Corey a good doctor?
Yes, I'm a great doctor.
What was your PhD in?
I was asking Greg his opinion.
I'm asking what his PhD is in.
Hey, Greg, don't ask me that. Because if I tell you what my PhD is in, people in Canada are going to be mad.
I think you might have a different definition of PhD than what you do.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's change the subject.
Yes, let's get into some baseball from last night. And we just talked about it. During the break and kind of alluded to before, but Brad Brock blew the hell up yesterday. And Scott Panowski on Twitter actually pointed out, you're good friends with Scott on Twitter, Matt, that every save that he has is like a white knuckle save, in that there's nothing easy for Brad Brock. He's been awesome. We talked about yesterday how awesome he's been just getting saves over the last couple of weeks. Last night he totally blew it for Wade Miley, basically let a leadoff homer and then got one out after that. The Nationals come back to win this 1-7-6, the only thing DC did right yesterday. And is there a reason to be nervous about Brad Brock?
I mean, you have to be somewhat nervous because there's Darren O'Day there. There's other guys that they could put in, give a shot. I mean, if he starts blowing saves, I don't think Buck is like going to be tied down to him. He hasn't been the guy like a Zach Britton that's done it over and over again. Though as much as I love his skills, you got to nail it down.
I think Absolutely. It's too early to panic with him, though.
Okay.
He's done a nice job. Now, not that I'll compare him to this guy, but Cody Allen, you know, got the loss yesterday. Not every closer is going to get it done every single time out. We even saw Mariano Rivera blow some saves here and there. Not that either of these guys compare to them, but, you know, I think it's good to keep in mind what Matt says, but I'm not worried about Brad Brock necessarily. You know, a lot of these closers, you know, have bumps here and there. They're not perfect.
You know, it's interesting, but they're not perfect. But like I was saying, Brock allowed a run in his last, I believe it allowed a run in his last save, was able to get out of it. Here he gets blown up a little bit. At what point, guys, do we make sure we get a piece of Darren O'Day somewhere if he's available?
Maybe if he blows another save, I start thinking it that way.
But isn't that too late then? Like, don't you
no,
want to be... Like,
because I'll tell you why. Because mostly in the fantasy baseball community, people don't start picking up guys en masse until they actually see a player update on RotoWorld or RotoWire
right.
that says somebody's going to be the closer. I talked about this the other day. What you want to do is you want to anticipate ahead. And you may have already done this unknowingly, okay? Because yesterday you were talking about, oh, man, I picked up Hunter Strickland. And then Derek Law looked kind of dicey yesterday. Strickland, you look at his numbers, he's striking out over 11 per 9. He's got an old 90 ERA, I believe, but the FIP is just above 2. You know, I would hold on to Hunter Strickland because, you know, I don't know. Derek Law is not a lop to keep that job.
So I agree with that, but you kind of, in my opinion, Sky was a little hypocritical there, right? Like, you're talking about anticipation and and getting to it before RotoWorld or RotoWire tells me to.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do, Matt, when it comes to Darren O'Day, right? Like, I've seen Brock the last couple of games. He's let up some runs. He got blown up yesterday. And we know that O'Day's been their seventh inning guy for a long time now. Darren O'Day is somebody that could be out there that I'm anticipating about. Maybe not in your draft champions leagues or your NFBC leagues, but like in standard leagues, given that Brock's a closer, Darren O'Day is out there. Wouldn't this be exactly what Scott's talking about and anticipating?
Yes, no. I mean, say Brad Brock gets another couple saves this week, whatever, looks all right. If you have that spot on your roster where you could drop somebody and add O'Day for a couple of dollars this week.
Right.
Because if it goes south next week, say he has a couple of bad outings, they don't have the loyalty to Brad Brock. He was not like a shutdown closer like Zach Britton was. I mean, Zach Britton, what he did last year was phenomenal. I mean, he had like ERA plus of like 800.
One of the best years of any reliever ever.
So, I mean, that's like Scott mentioned the other day. He picked up Alex Wilson this weekend for a couple
Buck,
of dollars.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do as opposed to paying like $300. I mean, I can give you a prime example. I took a gamble on Joaquin Benoit, and I won it by a buck. And I'm regretting it to this day. I spent $313. The runner-up was $312. And Benoit pitched yesterday in the seventh. It's the third of an inning, gave up 5 runs. I mean, you're going to take shots. And if you can get it cheap and it doesn't work out, that's fine.
Yeah, I wasn't saying I didn't say don't pick up Darren O'Day. What I was saying is I'm not panicking on Brad Brock yet. But if you want to, you know, make a preventive move and you got a roster spot, hey, go ahead. You know, anticipate.
Okay. So you're cool picking up Darren O'Day?
Yeah, I'm not worried about Brad Brock, okay. But I'm fine with picking up Darren O'Day.
Dollar make you holler if you had a roster space. You feel what I'm saying? If you want to get in there a little bit early. But Brock, come on now. Let's not turn our back on Brock. 2 days ago, we was you know,
100%.
We was, you know what I'm saying? 100%. We were hip, hip, hooray!
Well, sticking with the Orioles for a second.
Yeah.
It's a guy like Wade Miley. He's got like a 2.45 ERA. But I mean, this guy has just walked so many people. I know it's part of what his success has been. He's been getting a chase rate, people to chase. But I think this is going to end really bad at some point for, you know.
So do you guys know? You guys know how there's a lot of talk in the fantasy community, certainly going this year, and I brought it up last year, but I think it even got highlighted more this year about ignoring runs. Like in the draft, like we're on power and speed and ribbies, and like runs is kind of that category that went by the wayside. And it's like, all right, this guy will get me runs, or this guy will get me runs. That was like, it was never planning for it. I feel the same way about WHIP because you want a starting pitcher to pitch a bunch of innings, to strike a bunch of guys out. Hopefully get you a couple wins and have a low ERA. And the WHIP is something that is like, all right, I'm assuming if he has low, at least for me when I'm planning, if I assume he has low ERA, probably have a low WHIP.
Mm-hmm.
And Wade Miley's almost the antithesis of that because he's pitched well. I mean, the 2.45 ERA shows that he's pitched pretty well. 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts.
Antithesis.
But he walked 4 yesterday. The WHIP is at 1.4 here.
Well, that's what you're saying is perfect. Even in his first game versus the Yankees, he walked like 7 guys. And in his starts, the thing is, he's got runners on base. He's getting out of like bases loaded jams repeatedly. Mm-hmm. At some point, this guy does not have the stuff to succeed. So it's going to be something that, you know, you're not going to want to be a part of. At some point, hey, you want to ride it right now, take a shot, and it gets blown up and cut him. That's fine. I just really don't have the faith in him. The guy last night that did turn my head a little was Alex Asher. I know he came in the 8th inning. He struck out 3 batters. He did allow a home run. But I'm looking for him to hopefully get into the rotation and see what happens there.
And with more to his point about Miley, he's got an 87.9% strand rate. A lot of these guys are not going to help you WHIP. If your ERA looks like one thing and your WHIP looks like another, you know, if you're giving up like 3 runs on 9-10 hits, you know, not just the walks, you know, there's something to be said there. His FIP is actually 3.71, and you know, I think in the end his ERA is going to be higher than that.
But it's interesting, his FIP's at 3.71. That's not like it's 5 here, which is showing that he's not pitching terribly by any means.
No, I mean,
he's getting fortunate though.
Yeah, he is getting fortunate. And I mean, if we just go to the flip side, to the Washington Nationals for 1 second, I mean, we look at Blake Treinen, who was anointed the closer to start the season. He's appeared in 17 games. He's given up a run in 10 of those games. He's pitched 15 2/3 innings and he'll have 15 runs. I mean, at some point, they got to either send this guy down or put him on like a 10-day DL, get his head straight. He's a better pitcher than this. I mean, he has a severely good save.
What did he have he had 80 strikeouts in like 58 innings last year, I think?
Yeah, no, this is a talented pitcher, but it's all gone wrong. Right,
I think it was, maybe it was Sean Kelly.
I'll tell you this, though. It's interesting. Despite getting blown up in his last couple spot, or his last spot, I should say, Matt Albers right back out there for Dusty Baker in the 9th, strikes at the side. So with Sean Kelly on the DL, with Cody Glover on the DL, at least for a couple more days, Matt Albers still looks like to remain the guy.
Kelly and Glover, though, both through minor league rehab games yesterday, and
tomorrow.
They might both be back on Friday to share the closer job.
Yeah. The situation I have no interest in getting involved in. Trevor had his 4th home run of the year last year.
Wait a minute. Can I stop you for a minute? Is that okay? Why no interest? Because, like, Kelly's the guy who always gets hurt, right?
Right.
And people are always scraping for saves, especially in something like Grand Street Tavern League. Wouldn't you want a guy like get a piece of Coda Glover, you know, because not only can he share it, but eventually he could be the guy. You were talking about saves. You're talking about picking up Darren O'Day.
Right.
Why would you want any piece of the Washington situation?
The answer is, and I'll get to it when I get back to fully answer your question, because I've thought about this a bunch, and I think the answer makes sense to you, and I'll break it down when we come back. Smart Experts in the Morning, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Yes, we are.
And Scott, you threw out a question right before we went to break, and it was, how could I not be interested in Sean Kelly and or Cody Glover? And my answer is simple. When it came to Darren O'Day, I'm looking to find the man, right? That's what when I mentioned Darren O'Day, spending a dollar on him, it was to find the man. In Washington, it has been proven thus far this year, whether it was Blake Shannon, Matt Albers, Sean Kelly, Cody Glover, there isn't a man. It's a headache that we have had legitimately all season long. And I don't want to have it anymore. I don't want to have to
take aspirin.
I don't want to have to worry. The aspirin is not getting involved in this. What? I don't want to have to pick up
Greg has a headache.
I don't want to have to pick up Sean Kelly and then see Cody Glover come out in the ninth. I don't want to own Cody Glover and see Sean Kelly out in the ninth. It doesn't seem like something that will just play itself out. It's something that Dusty Baker is going to mess with all season long until they acquire a closer, and then you'll be screwed anyway. To me, I would rather find somebody else, get in a different situation. And it's not like these guys have been amazing either. They've all simply gotten blown up repeatedly, one after the other.
So it's like Baltimore Raven running backs.
Yes.
You'd rather just leave the situation alone altogether than instead of dealing with it. You feel what I'm saying?
Let somebody else reap the rewards.
Here's why I disagree with that. Sure. And I talk about anticipation. You're saying, I'm looking for the man and then nowhere is the man and everybody's gotten blown up. I don't think that's true with Cody Glover. Cody Glover, when he finally got the chance to close, shut the opposition down on back-to-back days, and then he went on the DL. Cody Glover is considered the closer of the future, and he hasn't really gotten the opportunity yet. I feel that Cody Glover has yet to be the opportunity to be the man. So if I'm looking for your perspective, which I totally understand it, I think there is a guy that could be the man because Sean Kelly never stays healthy. He's had two Tommy John surgeries. He's already been hurt this year. We know that Blake Trinan's not going to be the guy. Kelly hasn't looked too good. Glover hasn't gotten the opportunity.
I think if
Glover gets the opportunity, he could run with it.
He's making good points, Greg.
You talked about how Sean Kelly's always injured, which is true.
Right.
Cody Glover's also coming right out the DL. Let's not forget
right,
that.
Right, but he doesn't have a history of injuries.
He has a history of a hip injury, which is what he's on the DL for. And to be fair, you know, he had those back-to-back saves, you're right, but before getting the DL, he did get blown up. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, but they weren't in safe situations. Overall, his numbers have been pretty good. Like, he got a little bumpy in the start.
His overall ERA is 4, but
yeah, but what I'm saying is there were some good outings there.
Sure.
I think Cody Glover, I think there's a good shot that he will get a chance to be the man because they really haven't given him an opportunity to do it yet. They don't trust Sean Kelly to throw on back-to-back days. I was talking to a Washington beat guy. They don't trust Kelly to do that on back-to-back days. They feel like Glover is the guy of the future. They will give him a chance, I think at least, to be the man. They really haven't given that opportunity, and I think you have to anticipate that if Cody Glover is available.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Cody Glover did get saves on back-to-back days. One of them was a one-out save. He came in for a pitch against the Mets. He got that. I agree with Scott. They do not trust Sean Kelly. I don't think Sean Kelly can hold up to the rigors of pitching back-to-back and all that. So I think both will get a shot here. Will Cody Glover become the man? It's a possibility. I'm not sold on Cody Glover just yet, neither. I mean, this is a guy that really hasn't pitched that many innings in the major leagues. I know he has a big fastball, but he's not a K9 under 7. So I think the man is still not on the Washington roster yet. So I understand what you're saying.
I agree with
that. If you're looking for a spec and a guy that's not going to get saves now, probably not next month, maybe July, but could also give you the ratios, Corey Knebel. Did I say that one right?
You said it right.
We've been going back and forth on that.
Yep.
But that's a guy that's really... You know, he's giving you tons of strikeouts. He does need to curb the walks a little, and an opportunity might arise for him.
Now, here's the thing with Knebel. Like last year, okay, they were saying that it was going to be him or Will Smith, and Knebel suffered the season-ending injury. The one thing that you worry about with a guy like Knebel, you know, I want to look at the roster here, though, is he's a lefty specialist. Are they going to have another lefty in that pen to replace Knebel if they make him a closer?
I think at this point, what they're going to look to do, what Milwaukee's looking to do, and with these teams that are in the rebuilding mode, they want to get the stock up on everybody. So if they can get him in, get him some saves. I mean, the guy's really doing a hell of a job this season.
Yeah, the stock's up already.
I mean, he might get traded as well. I mean, it's a possibility. He gets traded. Feliz gets traded. David Stearns, as I've mentioned before, I think he's doing a heck of a job. I wish he was my GM. And the Bruins are doing everything right.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry. Corey Knebel's not a lefty. My mistake. But Knebel, like, he's already done the job. It's like he's got 11 holds. He's like one of the best setup guys in the National League.
Yeah, but I was just trying to say a guy that doesn't have the closer role yet that you can roster that can give you.
I agree.
You know, yeah. Other things.
I agree with that too.
I agree too.
But so we're on the same page there. All of us.
Me three. I agree.
I concur. We're on the same page there. But like I said, and we'll move on from this. We can talk about other teams, but. Ultimately, I don't trust Cody Glover. I don't trust Sean Kelly. I don't trust Dusty Baker. I don't trust Matt Albers. I don't trust Blake Treinen. I agree with Matt that this closer for the long haul, with this is a team that has World Series aspiration, simply isn't on this roster yet. And at some point, they're going to make a move, whether it's David Robertson, whether it's Kelvin Herrera, whether it's Vitaly Feliz, whether it's Joe Nathan, whether it's anybody.
God no, Joe Nathan.
No, I'm saying Joe Nathan can't win no championship.
It's not going to be Kelly.
Joe
it's
Nathan.
Not going to be Treinen.
You can't
it's
say it's not
going to be
Kelly.
Albers.
It was Kelly 2 weeks ago.
I don't think he stays
I'll
healthy. I think he's had some bumping outies. I think that Cody Glover might get a chance to be the man here. I'm not disagreeing that they might acquire Herrera or Robertson, but you know, Cody Glover at some point is going to be that team's closer, whether it's now or next year or whatever. And I think the next logical step for them to take is to see what he can do when he comes back starting Friday. Can he be the man there? I don't think they trust Sean Kelly to be the man. If there's one guy – now, look, if there's one guy there right now that I think that they will give an opportunity to be the man, I think it would be Glover over anybody else. Is it a slam dunk? No, it's not a slam dunk. But, you know, why not take it by the reasoning that you're going by, it's not a slam dunk that Hunter Strickland or Sharon O'Day or even Corey Knebel is going to get a chance to close. But this guy will have an opportunity, I believe.
Well, two things.
You know, for anybody else there.
I don't think Daniel Robertson gets traded to the Nats.
David Robertson.
I'm sorry. I said Daniel.
One thing on that real quick. Talks broke off on that. You know, I was told by somebody, you know, close to that situation, and they didn't expect anything to resume at all.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And the other thing about Hunter Strickland, just real quick, he was in the past supposed to be their closer of the future. So, if you want to look at it that way.
Any thoughts, Corey?
How's your headache?
My headache's good because I'm not getting involved in it. Right. So I had a headache and remained fine. Hey, in this one yesterday, Manny Machado hit his ninth homer of the year. Mark Trumbo hit his fourth.
Did he get hit by a pitch, Manny Machado?
Manny Machado did not get hit by a pitch.
No, he just hit a pitch a long way.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Michael Taylor hit his first of the year, while Jason Worth, who I saw you were tweeting about, he had the home run off of Brad Brock to lead off that inning. For Worth, his sixth homer of the year, he's batting .299 with an OBP 100 points higher. And he talked about guys in these two holes in Seattle with Ben Gamel a lot. Jason Worth right now batting two hole and performing.
He's getting it done. He lobbied to be in that two hole, and since they put him in there, I mean, he's got the job done. He's batting like .350. His OPS is through the roof. He's got like three homers. He got a clutch one last night. So I don't see Jason Worth moving out of that spot anytime soon. And if you're in like a shallower league and he's on the waiver wire, he should definitely have been picked up. If he's there, go grab him.
Yeah, but he's still available in some leagues. That I've seen, and you know, big home run yesterday as the Nationals came up with a 3-run ninth and avoided a sweep in the Beltway Series.
There you go.
Yeah.
Of course, they avoided a sweep. You know, they play again tonight, so they would have another shot at it.
Yeah. Well, they would have been avoiding the sweep today.
They're not going to get swept.
No, they officially avoided.
How do you know?
The sweep.
They're not gonna get swept because they won
last night.
Yeah.
So they can't get swept like the Utah Jazz.
Yes, like the Utah Jazz
got swept by my Dubs. What's up, Greg?
Yeah, how are your Knicks doing? There's a lot of controversy surrounding your guy Porzingis.
I don't know these Knicks you speak of.
Yeah. I know this front runner I speak of over here, Corey Parson.
Corey, why don't you give you an opportunity to practice poetry here, preach poetry here. Because even though I want to talk about another, you mentioned Joaquin Benoit got blown up yesterday, Matt. Oh, yeah. 5 runs in a third of an inning, blowing a nice Zach Eflin start, if I may. But Aaron Altherr is incredible, Corey.
Oh, Aaron Altherr is a beast. You know what I'm saying? Scooped him up off the wire, paid up for him. I got him on Draft Champions. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I kind of had a clue about the kid. You know what I mean? In the offseason, back February, March, when I was doing my research, whatever, thought he'd be a dude that can have an opportunity when he comes up. And sure enough, he is really performing right now. He's taking full advantage of the opportunity. He's definitely looking like an early candidate for waiver wire pickup of the year.
we're talking about, you know, bad bullpens.
I always talk my guys up.
There is no situation worse than Philadelphia right now. There is no apparent closer on that team.
Because what they did to Jenmar. See?
You see? Jenmar earned to lose the job.
He was going to
Should have given him an opportunity.
He should have given him a chance.
Jedmar earned to lose the job. Hector Neris is trying to lose the job. Joaquin Benoit doesn't want to do it. The only guy that maybe, there's nobody on the roster, Pedro Beato has seven saves at AAA Lehigh Valley for the Iron Pigs.
What about Pat Neshek? I mean, he might be an option.
They might bring Beato up and give him a shot,
though. Just real quick on Aaron Altherr, I think everything looks super solid. The average will come down, of course. But, if you just look at his numbers, everything looks in line for him to just have a really good season. I don't think he's going to bat whatever he's batting.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a post-type sleeper. We were talking about him last year before he got hurt.
Don't look now. Tommy Joseph in his 4th home run. The average for Joseph is up to 242.
Streaky power hitters coming bunches.
Competition is a good thing.
Competition and the streaky power hitters.
Yeah.
Both of those things make everything rise. Hey, more baseball talk when we return. Ooh. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
When the air guitar right here. This is Air Guitar 101 right here.
Scotty's motto.
There you go. You got to get your leg up like that, too. You see what I'm saying? Got to look to the side. There you go, Scott.
He is good, though.
I'm telling you, he's a good air guitar guy.
We really do need to sponsor him and enter into a contest.
No doubt.
Suspense like that.
Now, look.
I can donate to other charities.
Now, look. I knew Greg wasn't going to agree with this.
Here we go.
There's a double standard here. He's allowed to sing anything he wants. I can't play air guitar, so
who stopped you?
No, you always make a face to complain whenever I have fun. It's okay for you to have fun, but not for me. So what I'm going to do is, you think I do this too much, I actually have drummed up something that will please you more. Chris Pavona, do we have this ready?
Oh, boy. I love it. There we go.
Greg Sussman, to beat the man, you gotta be the man.
It's the other way around.
Let him go. He's on a roll.
There you go. There you go, right there, Greg. You can't. There's nothing you can do with that. He called you out on that one.
Woo!
I was waiting for Scotty to grab like Jeff and just start pounding bones.
Please don't do that.
Break Jeff.
Leave Jeff alone. Jeff's right over here in the corner. He's in the corner chilling.
You're petting Jeff's head.
Jeff had a concussion.
Is that okay now, Greg? Can I enjoy myself?
Scott, I don't think anyone's ever stopped you.
No, you always have to make a face.
Scott, when I sing, you yell
some
at
comment.
Me. You call me a spaz, right, when I have fun. So I don't say a word to you.
No, but you
call me a spaz.
You communicated otherwise.
I just sit here quietly.
You say,
stop it. I sit here quietly.
No, you don't.
How did you do it?
We can play the tape back of you dancing, me saying nothing if you'd like.
Yeah, but it's just like, do you like it? Donate to another charity.
I don't want to give money for you to be in an air guitar competition.
All the other guys are supporting me, and you're not going to? I thought you were my friend.
I am your friend. I don't have to support your fake guitar habits.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're always like, what are you doing over there? You know, and I'm like, I'm just enjoying myself like you do when you sing.
Whatever, Scott. We talked about Robinson Cano. He hit another home run yesterday coming back from his injury. But I want to get into the Tampa Bay game against Kansas City because that was the fun one. Tampa Bay in this game. They destroy KC 12-1. Most people do. Chris Archer pitched a complete game. Pitched 8 innings, 5 hits, no runs allowed, no walks, 11 strikeouts. A dominating performance for Chris Archer.
From no Laduca. Doubt.
That was not the story.
I mean, the thing... I mean, I love Archer. He's been awesome. He's great at home. I mean, if he can just improve on the road this season, he'll be in the mix with Sale as the top two guys. I mean, you got to put Dallas Keuchel in there right now for the AL Cy Young. But what he did last night, in my opinion, was bush league.
Now, why do you say this, Matt?
I am not one of these guys that say people can't hit batters and stuff like that. I am for policing the game. Maybe you want to call me old school, you know, all that stuff. I really don't care.
Are you a purist?
Kind of. I mean, I hate the DH, but
the guy quotes FIP constantly. You think he's not a purist?
but the thing, here's the thing. Sal Perez hit a line drive up the middle. Archer did like a Charlie Brown move where he was flying up in the air. Yeah, the glove went, everything. And then he hits him the next at bat.
Actually, before he hit him, though, they did have... He was passing them on the field, and they had words with each other, too.
Obviously, maybe he was embarrassed or whatever. I don't know what it was.
Why would he be embarrassed, though?
I'm trying to make a reason him actually like throwing out. And then in the
line drive made him like flip in the air.
And in the post game, he said that he didn't throw at him, which he's not going to admit it.
Okay. Yeah, of course not.
The only person that did that was Cole Hamels with like Bryce Harper back in the day when he first came up.
Or Chris Sale.
Or Chris Sale.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just wasn't, to me, the right thing. You know, if the guy would have hit, like, a home run and just, like, stood there for a couple of minutes, an extra 30 seconds, then, okay.
Hit him.
But that, to me, like I said, once again.
So even after the line drive came back up the middle, Archer was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, help! Exactly.
He really did look like Charlie Brown.
A ball was coming.
Yeah, he did. And it was like, it was Salvador Perez's birthday, too. You know,
He hit him on his birthday,
yeah. And after the game, like he said, Archer was like, I'm not trying to come at him with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm not trying to hit anybody. And, like, you know, just openly lying, you know, to the media. Yeah.
So what he hit, where did he hit him at? Like his back or his buttock?
Yeah, like right on the side, I think it was, yeah.
He hit him right in this area?
Right in the side, right
the
there.
Odell.
You want to get Jeff the Odell.
Corey's been waiting to put that one out there. Oh, he was just waiting for the opportunity all morning.
He hates Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't hate him. I think I saw a photograph. I thought it was funny, and we'll leave it alone.
He is like, come on, you hate him. He's like, you're a big Dallas Cowboy fan. The Giants are your main rivals, and this is the guy, like the superstar in the face of the Giants. Of course you hate him.
I don't hate him. We probably change the subject.
Probably.
And so he hit the ball back. The ball comes back up the middle. Archer, help! And then the next inning, he hits the guy.
Yeah.
It's not right.
It was unfortunate.
Man, that's not right, Greg.
Agreed.
By the way, Archer, back-to-back 11 strikeout games.
I love that. Yeah. He's on my Tout Wars team. Yeah. I love that. I need some more pitchers, though.
I think we all do.
At this point.
Yeah, well, David Price is going to start a rehab assignment Sunday.
That's
getting
cool.
Closer.
So it's the rehab assignment Sunday, which will be the, what, the 12th?
The
15th.
15th?
Should I trade?
14th.
Yeah.
Should I trade J.D. Martinez for David Wright? For David Price?
Not David Wright.
Not David Wright. I don't think he'll be back anytime soon.
If I trade him for David Wright, I'll have a bench spot. Yeah. And I don't need a manager.
At least a captain.
You have to be your honorary captain.
No, he can be my captain.
Well, hopefully
he comes
back,
though. Do you think I'd trade J.D. Martinez for David Price?
I would do that. You know, based on your analysis of J.D. Martinez yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I'm not confident. The fact that he has to play the field is really a bummer for me. If he was on any other team where he could have just been the DH, that might have saved him. But I really do want to see what happens to Price. After, you know, he's been long tossing, progressing. You know, once you get into game action, it
different
gets a little
story.
Different.
Yeah.
I want to see how he's feeling after that.
I don't think they're going to rush him back, though, because that's one of the most important players, you know, I think they're going to be very careful with him. I think by the second start when he comes back, I'll be ready to put him in.
Oh, you know who has Tim? Tim McCullough has David Price in our league.
Is that the first place, Tim McCullough?
That is first place, Tim McCullough. Yes, it is.
And he's getting David Price back. You know, it's interesting.
I should trade him J.D. Martinez.
Well,
let me ask you this.
If I would have told you, David Price was a rehab assignment this week. Let's say he needs 4 rehab starts because he's building.
Right. Probably 2 or 3.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll say four.
That's what I've read.
For my purpose, I'm going to say 4.
Yeah.
Because I want to get to a certain date, okay? If I told you during draft season that David Price would be back June 1st, where would you have taken him? I guaranteed you he'd be back June 1st.
I still would have taken him in the double-digit rounds. Yeah. I just don't like when there's elbow, forearm, yep, it's very shoulder. Scary. It's just too scary. That's why I'm like so frightened with Paxton. They said two starts. I don't believe that at all.
Right.
I mean, so I'll just keep going back. Look at Zach Britton. It was nothing. He was encouraged before that report came out.
Sure.
I saw on Twitter. Yeah. And so it's Corey's right though. I mean, as far as a fair trade.
You okay, Matt?
Excuse me.
I can get Kayla to bring you some water if you want.
Crush that, no, but as far as a fair trade, David Price for J.D. Martinez, that's a fair trade.
Now, you're a pitching specialist. Now, he threw out the four rehab starts. Customarily.
Specialist.
What?
Customarily.
He does. CTM baseball is the pitcher's index.
He does
index.
All pitching guide.
Love it.
But
when you said he was a specialist, I thought like he was like a bench coach or something.
I don't know if he's going to need four.
I'm saying customarily, how many rehab starts does a pitcher need? Isn't like two or three?
Yeah, I'd say it's more two, three. Especially, it depends on the pitcher, too. This is a veteran. He's been getting stuff in. I would think maybe they'd be a little conservative, go three. Like you said, this is the Red Sox. This is the American League East. As good as the Yankees and Orioles are playing, neither of these teams have the pitching to hold up throughout the season. Unless the Yankees do at some point, which I believe they will, go out and get a starter.
Yeah.
So I think they can take their time with Price. Like I said, I want to see how Price is feeling like the day after or 2 days after he has that first rehab start.
Knowing the Yankees are looking like 2019, do you think they acquire like a Trevor Cahill type?
I think the Yankees are scrapping 2019. If they keep playing the way they're playing, they want to get... That's why I think Garrett Cole makes so much sense.
Right.
They have him for the rest of this season, next season.
Just 26.
I mean, he fits the perfect bill. I don't think the Yankees are going to skimp. If they go get somebody, I think they're going to go hard.
There you go. There you go. It's a good update, gentlemen. The pitching specialist.
The pitching specialist, the bench coach.
Matt Wadzika.
See if we can get him some water, too. He was coughing.
He was coughing. I want to make sure that you're properly hydrated, Matt.
Yes, always be hydrated.
It's extremely important. Hey, quickly, the Dodgers, we spoke about it through the top. Kenta Maeda, 8 1/3, longest outing of his career. Went for the complete game, little two-run bomb to Frankie Cervelli in the ninth. But Maeda pitched really well while Cody Bellinger hit his sixth home run of the year. That was in the first inning. Maeda got the job done last night, Scotty.
Yeah, and credit to the pitching specialist over here for saying, you know, be patient on him. In his last three starts, he has allowed only 5 runs, and he has 21 strikeouts. And like you said, longest outing of his career. He gave up a home run in the ninth, and they decided to pull him, but Maeda's really coming along. This is the Maeda we saw the first half of last year.
Not just with Maeda. With the other pitchers that we believed in prior to the start of the season that had, say, a bad April, you got to believe in these guys. They have track records. Maeda doesn't have the track record here. He's pitched very well in Japan. People can say last night it was against the Pirates who were depleted and all that. Hey, the guy pitched career high. He didn't walk anybody. I'm excited. You needed to see that. If he would have got blown up yesterday, then you would have been nervous.
Totally, totally agree with that. That sounds good. When we come back, it's time to go up to the park. After the park, we talk to Christian Arroyo, the Giants' top prospect who's starting every day for San Francisco. Christian Arroyo, Roto Experts at the Park, is next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. That's how the morning again. Where we head at the park for Roto Experts at the Park. And Scotty, you got an opportunity not to talk to any Giant, but their top prospects who made his debut before I think any of us really expected it to happen. You have a chance to talk to Christian Arroyo.
Yeah, Christian Arroyo had a bases-clearing double to help the Giants win the game yesterday. And so far he's hitting just .242, but you look at his minor league numbers, he's going to hit more than that, you know. He's actually hit for more power. Like the three home runs that he has already, like have like matched what he had all last year in the minors. But sometimes, you know, the power comes last, like we say, Greg, sometimes for, you know, these prospects. But he's more, he expects to be more of an average guy, maybe like numbers-wise a Joe Panic type of guy. But they like him in the field. And when he was drafted, he was a self-described math geek who was the salutatorian of his high school and had a GPA over 4. So I asked him because of that.
Welcome. Family, friends, parents, staff, teachers. He was the salutatorium. Sorry, Scott.
Okay. You have something legitimate, Ted? That was so funny.
He was a salutatorium, all right. Scott.
Anyway.
Do you have something legitimate to add?
I'm getting to it.
I'm sorry,
I'm
Scott. My bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
It is your bad. Yeah, you know, I'm getting to it. So I asked him, being a... He's a self-described math geek. So I said, being one, do you get involved in sabermetrics when it comes to your baseball playing? Now, I read when you came out of school, you were very much into academics. You like math. As a baseball player, though, does that mean like you study sabermetrics or, you know, incorporate that at all? Do you look at that kind of stuff?
You know, it's not really. I don't really look at too much of the sabermetric stuff. I know it's there. Obviously, it's kind of become part of the game. The game, I think, number-wise, is kind of evolving a little bit. But, you know, I really don't pay too much attention to it. You know, just because there's so many numbers out there, and to be honest, I don't know half of them. So, you know, I think it's interesting sometimes to see, but yeah, I don't really pay attention to it too much.
Yeah, Corey, so he's like you, you know, don't give me that fib. But, you know, bad
have you,
know,
have you noticed
like that?
You guys noticed that Scott's questions are nothing? It's what is? Did you ask him what do people think about his fantasy team? You know, they're on his fantasy team.
Yeah.
Those are your, so you have another go-to. Your sabermetrics questions. Is that your 2017 go-to question?
Not necessarily. But it depends on the player. Yeah. Because the, you know, because I found that he was a math geek. Maybe it was. And right. When I read up on Max Scherzer, Max Scherzer is very interested in sabermetrics. And I'll be asking Jay Bruson this. It depends on the player.
Because so far we've heard Daniel Murphy, Ryan Zimmerman.
Right, because all of them have
Chris
talked
Spire.
About it. Yeah.
Right, so we've heard it. I've realized
in my research, I've uncovered that.
You've unveiled that. How important sabermetrics theoretically could be for these players. I just find it very interesting. That's all.
I'm saying, you know, I'm uncovering that, and you'll hear that more. There's a few Giants interviews now on Audio Boom, Google Play, iTunes. You know, where I tackle it with these guys. You know, I asked Chris Spire about it. You know, the Nationals bench coach, because he's very old school. You know, and
he's a purist.
Well, he's like, he played in the 70s, so
did he have an afro?
What's that?
Did he have an afro?
No.
If I played in the 70s, I would have had an afro.
I believe that for sure.
I could see it.
100%.
Yeah,
I would have had Oscar Gamble.
I'd have had a big afro, too. It'd have been soft and curly.
Look up during the break. Look up Oscar Gamble and Nino Espinosa, two of the biggest afros of the 70s in baseball.
Real quick on Christian Arroyo. I think the comp to him as an MLB player is more like a Brandon Crawford type. I got to see him in the Arizona Fall League. He played very well there. And I think, you know, with him and Crawford, that's going to set up some really nice defense for them in the future.
We'll see. I assume that Arroyo goes to third base now with Crawford back.
I would assume they need a third baseman.
Right.
You know.
Put Nunez in the outfield.
Hey, well, I don't know about him in the outfield.
Or at DH, which they don't have, which is kind of a problem.
Hey, Gamble has a real good afro. And he got like the pork chop sideburns too.
Yeah. He was a Yankee, by the way.
That'd have been me in the 70s.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, 1 hour down, one more to go. The Roto Experts roll on right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside the King. Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Matty Moe. Fantasy executive, excuse me.
Yeah, fantasy executive, hour number two of the Roto Experts in the morning. I bet. So here was the thing. I'm going to get off topic a little bit with this one.
Right.
Because we were talking about Oscar Gamble, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a fan. I like Oscar Gamble's fro. Greg, can you hand me that? This Roto Experts photo right here with the fantasy
the
executive.
Comic book photo.
The comic
the
book photos that we have of us. This is
yeah,
me.
That Nando DeFino got up for us.
Yeah, exactly. I love this right
just
here.
Just to describe it like what Corey Gregg are holding up for the radio audience is Nando had comic book artists do some Roto Experts comics covers of us.
And it's me like coming. This one right here is a fantasy executive as a superhero coming to save a lady that looks... nice.
Fantasy exec looks a little old in
that
picture.
Yeah, I did. Fantasy exec is washed up, apparently.
Jacked!
Yeah, he's got a yellow cape, etc. You know, it's very sci-fi, Corey.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
It's very sci-fi.
Is that Cha-Cha down below?
It might be. I don't know who it is, but whatever. But look, that's a lady right there. It's a nice young lady I'm going to go help. So, I like these. These are good. These are cool. We got, like, everybody. Like, not everybody, but we got some of these around for you.
I don't like mine.
Why you don't like yours?
Because it doesn't look like me. I've never had gray hair sideburns ever.
All right. So, but here's
and
what
Tony looks like Orson Welles.
Here's what I want, Nando. You had these made. Can we get 1970s baseball cards made of us?
Oh, I'd love it.
Because I want mine to look like Oscar Gamble.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool for real.
I want to be wearing sunglasses and smoking a cigarette.
Oh, that's cool!
I just want to do the stock fielding pose, like you know, hands on knees, you know? like you got like four of those in every pack, you know.
What would you want your 70s baseball card to look like? I want mine to have an afro and pork chop sideburns.
I want mine to have the pork chop sideburns. Old school Mets uniform, my hands on my knees, and you know, like with a glove. Looking like a ball player.
What about your hair? What would you do with your hair?
I just said, you know, pork chop sideburns.
Oh, the pork chop sideburns.
Yeah. Under a Mets hat.
Greg, we can talk about what you want your 70 baseball card to look like.
To me, I would want, you know, the Jewish afro coming up, right?
Yeah.
Jufro,
yeah.
Yeah, the curly joint.
Yeah, curly joint. And then just have like... Long sideburns and also curl and the whole beard. The whole deal.
I like that.
Yeah.
What about you, man?
Mustache
did
too.
Anybody ever rock a better Jufro than Sean Penn in Carlito's Way?
That was a good one.
I love that movie.
That was a good one.
You're always watching. Goodbye, counselor.
And so, Matt, in your 70s baseball card,
what about the Raleigh Fingers mustache?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you want your 70s?
Can do that.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. You know, either that or
cigarette
you know,
with the sunglasses on
in
the outfield.
I like the sunglasses and the cigarette like Kelly Leak style.
The important thing for Modica is the cigarette, people.
He'd be like Jonas Cespedes, actually.
Sure. Take a break. We're gonna come back. Got a lot more baseball to get into. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the morning coming your way next. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And it's time to bring in Dr. Parson, not his father, but the true doc. Put it over here. We want to see your face.
Oh, yeah.
Put it over here.
For those listening on radio, Dr. Parson is bringing up his skeleton named Jeff.
That's right.
Talking about injuries.
Jeff is in the house today.
What's good, Dr. Parson?
Because we bring in Jeff because I want to get into last night's Red Sox versus Brewers.
Mm. Yes, I have the exact injury diagnosis is here if you like them.
Fantastic. So the Brewers won this game 7-4. But to me, the biggest story was who these teams lost. We'll start with Milwaukee with Ryan Braun.
Ryan Braun left Wednesday's game against Boston due to tightness in his left calf.
All right, so here we go right here. Ryan Braun, tightness in his left calf. This is going to be very similar to what we discussed yesterday with Robinson Cano with the quad injury. Basically the same thing. So, basically, the calf strain, the calf tighten. Excuse me. I'm trying to work. The calf strain, right? The calf tightness.
There you go.
It's tough stuff right here. So basically, this is he injured himself, if I'm not mistaken. This injury, hold my computer, Scott, because I need
all space you can.
Can we get Kayla to come in here?
No,
no. Mm-hmm. All right.
You can't practice on the team. Yeah.
We don't want to. We don't want to examine another part of Jeff. All right.
Come on, let's go.
All right, so let's go. All right, relax, Greg. So anyway. calf strain. So Ryan Braun, if I'm not mistaken, he pulled up lame as he was running, right? So basically the calf, the muscles in the calf tightened up. And you know why they tightened up?
Why?
Because proper stretching was not done before the baseball game. So without that proper stretching, it causes the calf to tighten up. So what happens is, like the blood vessels,
right,
they can't constrict like they're supposed to, and that causes a pain in the calf area. Mm-hmm. Rest, for the most part, will take care of this. Now, Ryan Braun is an older player, in and out the lineup a lot these past couple of weeks, mainly because, you know, his body is really starting to betray him at this point of his career.
Right.
So something as simple as running to second base, if you don't get the proper stretching, can lead to tightness in his calf or the calf strain like this. So like I said, this is really a simple injury, day to day. But
should we expect Ryan Braun to go on the DL?
I do not expect Ryan Braun to go on the DL. Now, if he does
you talk about his age, like I believe he's 34 now.
Yeah.
And over the last few years, it's been like a cavalcade of injuries.
Now, if he does have to go on a DL, and if this thing is serious, then it's likely called compartment syndrome.
Okay.
That's very serious right there. Our compartment syndrome is likely what ended Hakeem Nicks' career.
You sure?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Remember, Hakeem Nicks was going to be a stud. And then he ran like he was 70.
Correct.
But he was 23.
I remember that greatly, yeah.
Yeah, so there
So that's the deal with Ryan Braun. He was only one of the two major players to leave this game with an injury. So Braun has a calf injury. Mm-hmm. Dr. Parsons said it's not going to be that serious. No. We do not expect him to go on the DL. As long as it's just a strain, we don't know if it's anything more serious than that at this time.
Yep.
Now, Hanley Ramirez also left this game, Scotty, and he's not a young chicken himself.
Yeah, Hanley Ramirez had to exit the same game because of right trapezius muscle spasm. And also, let's note that he's been dealing with some shoulder soreness lately as well.
So this is all the same region. This area right here, this is your traps.
So you think the injuries are related?
The injuries are more than likely related. This is your traps area right here. These guys that go to the gym and they do the workouts and stuff like that, and they get those big things like that right
On their backs.
On their backs?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're into that, whatever. It's not really my thing. All right, so.
You sure?
You can look at him and you'll be sure. That's not
I don't have traps. Never mind. All right, so.
He likes trap music.
I like trap music, but I don't have trap muscles. We need to come back with some Migos too, Bavona. All right, so here we go. So, Hanley Ramirez, his traps, this area right here. So, basically, the trapezius muscle that he's worked, that's what the problem is, this is getting tight. And it keeps tightening up on him. So more or less, you know how you go to sleep and you sleep bad and you wake up with a stiff neck?
Yeah.
So basically, Hanley Ramirez has like a stiff neck, and that pain is also coming down into this area right here.
So you think it's like he's overcompensating for that shoulder soreness?
So yeah, exactly. You're absolutely correct, Greg. He's overcompensating. So the trap muscle and the shoulder soreness, so he's probably like sleeping funny, stuff like that.
Right.
He probably needs to take a couple days off to kind of get it together. As long as he keeps going out there and playing, he can play through it. But, you know, a couple days of rest should be needed.
Hanley, and speaking to a former major leaguer who's watched a lot of Hanley in the past, he told me that Hanley is always an injury risk because he has a very violent swing. So a guy with a violent swing, it's not the best injury.
If he's swinging violently and all that torque, you know, it's going to be hard for him to get that trap together because, you know, he's still going out there and playing. So there you go right there. Do we have anybody else we want to discuss?
I think we're good for tonight. There we go. There we go. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything?
No, just a healthy Hanley is a really good player. I mean, post-All-Star breaking, 22 home runs last year.
Did you like me to break down plantar fascia?
By the way, Michael Conforto did not play yesterday because of hamstring tightness. They say it's minor, though, but I always worry when I hear about a hamstring.
So I always worry about it. I hear anyone on the Mets. So.
Yeah.
Hamstring.
Almost anything. It turns out to be 6 months instead of just being a couple of days.
He'll never play again.
I'm going to check that out.
Jeff's missing
something. You don't want Scott going through your computer.
No, it's Scott. Give my computer, Scott.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bad.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
So, by the way.
That guy used to work with us the mothership.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
So, by the
Very
way,
funny.
When it came to the Brewers yesterday, Johnny Villar got the day off until Ryan Braun got hurt. So, Villar got the day off, which meant Keon Broxton, of all people, was leading off 2-for-5, 2 runs scored, not struck out a single time. I cannot believe I'm saying this. His average is at 266 right now.
Look at this.
What was the show where they said, I think it was Carradine, was it David Carradine? Patience Grasshopper.
Be careful.
You gotta hold faith. him get look, he's not going to bat leadoff when Villar comes back. I know Villar's been struggling, but Villar right now is their catalyst. They're going to keep him up there. But things are good. I just like this Brewers team. They're going to hit.
They're fun.
They are fun to watch. I mean, the Red Sox rolling out Kyle Kendrick is, you know, I don't know what that was. They're too good of a team, too good of an organization to be doing foolishness like that, as Corey would say.
Why are these guys pitching like Kyle Kendrick and Jared Weaver?
I could see it for the Padres, and that fits their mission plan for 2017. The Red Sox, I just
Mike
don't
Pelfrey.
Get. Yeah, I mean, well, that's he's on the White Sox too, so that's
But the Red Sox
these
are
stupid Sox.
Yeah,
I mean, the one thing about Braun, just to, real quick, is he's like always got something.
Yeah, it's going on. He's breaking down.
What's kind of amazing is he just somehow continues to play and put up stats.
The continuing on with this Red Sox Brewers game. Yeah, Jet Bandy have a double. I know Jet Bandy's one of your two catchers, Scott. They don't mean the other Brewers catcher, Matt Pena.
Bench Pena because he's gone cold and replaced him with Tyler Flowers.
Oh, there you go. Tyler Flowers has been good. Stolen base wise. So Travis Shaw, a little bit of a revenge game here. Revenge series for Travis Shaw against his former team. He was 2-for-4, couple of runs, scored an RBI. He also stole his third base of the year. While you also had Domingo Santana steal his fourth base of the year, and Eric Thames gets his first.
How about two RBIs for your guy, Hernan Perez?
How about my two RBIs for Hernan Perez?
I thought
Perez.
Of you when I saw that.
I appreciate that. Hernan Perez, by the way, played second base yesterday because why not? Until Braun got hurt and then went to left field.
I want to see what kind of package the Brewers get for Hernan Perez.
Ladies and gentlemen, a first on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here, since we have started Studio 34, Corey finally did it to somebody except me.
But no, in all seriousness, this guy is going to command. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams looking at him. He could be very versatile, and he could run. He pretty much does it all. So, I think this is a chip that Milwaukee has that's going to return
a
nice
shot. They got a few of them.
There's a problem with this game right here, though.
So, when yesterday we were talking to the Fantasy BFFs about some of these players that are really struggling and it's time to drop them, and we got the Jackie Bradley Jr., who had played 3 days, he was benched for 3 days in a row.
Thing?
Well, that was the question we posed. He had a second home run of the year yesterday, batting 194 on the season. Ooh. We haven't mentioned him at all on this show. But yes. Jackie Bradley Jr., should he still be owned, Matt?
Not a guy that I drafted in any leagues. I think he's a really good defender. I think he will be better than this. I think the Red Sox kind of really want to play him. They need to play him. In a 12-teamer, I mean, I'm not really a fan of his. I think you can get other things. So if you had to drop him, I'd be fine with that. Maybe other people not, but for me, yes.
A lot of people didn't believe in Bradley. You know, very, very streaky player. You know, he can go on a binge at any time. Yep. And maybe you pick him back up. But how do you know to drop Jackie Bradley? I think you know this because you're in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. How do you know to drop a player? Ron Cafferty offers you to get a trade. You know, like he sends me this ridiculous offer like Cole Hamels, Jackie Bradley, and Hector Neris for Luis Severino and Chris Owings.
All right. This game right here was 3 hours and 37 minutes. Mm. That's a problem.
You know, somebody was saying like, you know, this site Mets Police, it's like a fan site. They're saying like Terry Collins is a type of manager like killing baseball because like he'll use like three relievers in an inning and he'll come out to take them all out and commercial breaks and all the changes and the walks to the mound.
Well, he's using everybody as like a specialist, which he can't do. He's going to kill this bullpen.
But he's also killing interest in the game.
They got to get rid of those. We'll talk about Terry Francona's team and Terry Francona's son when we get back. It's an interesting story I want to get everybody's thoughts on here. So we're going to get into all of that on the other side. This right here, this is Roto Experts in the Morning, and we'll be back right after this.
It's not Migos. It's the opposite. What are you doing, Scotty?
The YMCA.
I see that. Hey.
You know, I this is a true story. I have met the Village People many times.
Where?
How many original members, though, do they still have left, though, at this point, though?
There's a couple. There's a couple, including the leader. He's really, I don't know his name on the stage. His name is Felipe.
Felipe, he's the Indian. Yeah.
He's not really an Indian, but
no, that's the character
yes,
he
I
plays.
Yes, I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
I want to make that
the
clear.
The character, I mean, he's got a headdress and
yes,
everything.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes. So
what character would you be, Scott, from the Village People?
No.
I would be in the Village People. I'd be in Kiss. Don't try to do that to me, Mondica.
I wouldn't be in the Village People either.
There's a couple black guys.
Probably a little bit different.
No.
I have different interests.
No, you don't.
Who's the other?
Married.
Huh?
Married.
Oh, I didn't know
who's
that.
The other, okay. Who's the other original member?
It is. It's one of the black guys, I believe. Actually,
The one that plays a sailor. I think.
I've seen him. I see them in like normal clothes. So
yeah.
How do they look in their normal clothes?
Well, how'd you end up meeting them like outside of the stage thing?
Yeah, where was you at?
Where'd you meet off stage? Did you see them in Fairway or something?
No. No, you know, I used to work in an accounting firm, right? We did accounting.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So How about that?
They would come in.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be all the Village People.
They would come in together?
Yeah, they had to all be as a group.
Because
the original guy who played the biker died a few years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. They actually had like a 70s movie with Bruce Jenner in it. Yeah, they did.
It was called
You Can't Stop the Music.
Should have known. Never mind. I love Canada. I did not know that look at this. I'm looking at pictures of the Village People now.
Not so the this first is cool. time.
He's got one of the favorites.
Whoa, Monica!
This is good. This is real good right here.
Honestly,
when I was a kid, the Village People were like so.
They
popular.
Had some good music though. You know, macho. I think my favorite Village People tune is In the Navy.
Yeah. I would love to see Scotty in like a little sailor suit.
Yeah.
Get into it.
Wow, the Village People. All right, this is cool. So you got like, a motorcycle guy.
You got the motorcycle cop.
You got a copper.
Yeah,
and
the copper was the lead singer.
Yeah. You got a construction worker.
Yep.
You got a military dude. Mm-hmm. All right, and then you got a guy playing an Indian character.
Yeah,
the Village People.
That's Felipe. Yeah.
This is what we were listening to in the '70s, huh?
Yeah, BGs.
The Bee Gees.
Love the Bee Gees.
This right here is a gimmick. The Bee Gees. That was jamming.
It's a gimmick, but you know what? The music was good.
For the time, people got down with the Village People.
This is In the Navy right here.
Yeah, they want you.
Let's get back into baseball here. Let's get back into baseball and talk about this Cleveland-Toronto game from yesterday where Toronto actually wins the game. Francisco Liriano does not pitch quite well. I don't understand why when he pitches, Russell Martin's not starting.
He's on the DL now.
But even still, I don't want Liriano to pitch then. If Martin's on the DL, then Liriano should pitch.
He should be dropped.
I forget fantasy-wise. I'm talking about in real life. Like, the Blue Jays should not throw him out when Russell Martin is not available. So
I'm sorry. Somebody sent me a message about the Village People. I have to compose myself.
Liriano gets blown up. 7 runs in just 2 innings of work. Doesn't strike out a single batter. The Blue Jays do come all the way back to win, though, with Roberto Osuna picking up his second win of the year. Danny Salazar, on the other hand, he also got blown up here.
Yeah, Danny Salazar is starting to remind me, like, when we talk about Jeff Samardzija, like, getting all these strikeouts, et cetera, and just not getting the job done. And, you know, otherwise, he's had a few good starts, but he's been very, very inconsistent. And like I was talking about at the top of the show, we were talking about closers. Cody Allen did not have a good outing as he came into a tie game yesterday, but I'm not worried about Cody Allen.
I'll say this. If somebody in your league, say you're in a 12-team league, and they're like, I'm fed up with Danny Salazar, and they drop him, I pick him up. I at least put him on my bench. He's got too many things going for him. The FIP is like 350. The XFIP's even lower than that. The swinging strike percentage is over 16.
Some big innings. That's the thing. Yeah.
I'm
agreeing with you because I have high shares of Salazar. And he's had some big innings that really hurt him.
400.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot to
like.
Look
at yesterday's game. That you could see that BABIP. Everything was dropping everywhere.
I mean, look, it's not an easy task dealing with Salazar because, like you said, you're looking at the guy, you're looking at like a Jeff Samardzija type, a Robbie Ray kind of type, and those guys are extremely frustrating. But I think Salazar is very talented, and he could be a guy that if you pick up, somebody cuts, or you buy on the cheap, could really return a nice investment for him.
Yeah, it's just the consistency isn't there. On the other side, Jose Bautista with his third home run. You know, I was talking yesterday, Greg, on the Roto Experts in the morning, like, I believe Sincada and Engel about, you know, when's panic date? May 15th, and maybe I'll cut Jose Bautista by June 1st, and bam, he hits a home run.
Just like Jackie Bradley, right? To me, it was like the same thing, but he hits a home run. Bradley hits a home run yesterday. Crazy. Indians put up 7 runs, none via the home run yesterday, which I found it kind of interesting.
But this offense is not really living up to expectations yet.
Look at Jason Kipnis, 175. Yeah. Eddie's at 226.
Santana is at 230, whatever. OBP is 329.
You never expect a high average.
Yeah, but
Santana.
You know, he's wanting to play better than this. You feel what I'm saying? Your boy Yan Gomes.
Yan Gomes left that game with an illness yesterday.
These guys are going to get hot and go on Sevilla runs like Edwin Encarnacion. I still haven't given up hope on Jose Bautista. Look, the average isn't going to be anything spectacular. We know that. But I think the power comes. I know people are saying the bat has slowed down. Let's see how it gets, you know, when it really starts warming up and stuff like that. I'm not writing guys off that have done it, that still have... You know, still have if they're hitting the ball hard or they're hitting a lot of fly balls and they have that profile and they have a Corey says back at a baseball card, don't bail just yet.
Yeah, and Yan Gomes was really picking it up recently until he left yesterday's game.
For the Blue Jays, Ryan Goins went 3-for-4. Ezekiel Carrera went 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored and 2 ribbies. Carrera also hit his third home run of the season. He's batting .313 with an OBP of .329. I'm going to go to Scotty first here. Is Ezekiel Carrera someone who should have some value that we should be considering?
In a 15-team league, yes.
Okay.
I do own him in an AL-only league, and, you know, he gives me decent stats.
Love him.
You know, doesn't play regularly. But, you know, so far the returns have been good.
He kind of reminds me of, like, Tommy Pham. They get hot for, like, a week or two. Yeah. I don't think it's somebody that you could just rely on. I mean,
but you feel like Pham's got more upside than Carrera.
I don't really know, because I've seen Pham do this before. He you know, I've owned him in 15-team leagues over the past couple of years. He's come up with the Cardinals, gotten real hot, and then, it subsides. I don't think it's sustainable for Pham. Carrera... I mean, look, if he's going to play...
Well, how old is Tommy Joseph, though? Isn't he still like a guy?
Tommy Pham, I think, close to 30, like 29, 30.
I thought you were talking about Joseph. I'm sorry. Yeah, Tommy Pham. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing with this Carrera kid, right quick, is what is he going to... I mean, he's going to hit you... He doesn't do anything for fantasy-wise.
He's got a couple home runs.
He got a couple home runs. He ain't going to steal no bases.
Well, I think it's come...
He's a decent average. That's it.
To the point in today's MLB game where if you're a player that gets 500 at-bats and you don't hit double-digit home runs, you either have to be an uber-average guy... A defensive wizard or an ultra rabbit. Like one of those three things.
Christian Arroyo is two of those three things.
Well, I mean...
Defensively very good.
Yeah, but I have him on a 15-team league.
And I think you just almost described Christian Arroyo to me.
You know.
Yeah.
But he's still a young guy. And look, the Giants should play him. I heard they're talking about maybe he'll go down for some more seasoning. Why? The kid's up. He's not getting overmatched. I mean, look, he's batting 242, whatever. Yeah, but he got a huge hit yesterday.
He got his first career hit off of Kershaw.
He doesn't look, I mean, like I said, we had the argument yesterday with you and Tony had the argument. He doesn't look overmatched to me. I'm not a scout, but.
I mentioned Cleveland. I mentioned Terry Francona. I wanted to just quickly bring up this story with Francona's son, Nick Francona, who was fired by the Dodgers a couple years ago. And he's accused the Dodgers of discrimination.
What was his position with the Dodgers?
His official job was he worked in the player personnel department. So Gabe Kapler is his boss, director of player development. His official title is, hold on 1 second. Now I'm looking. Of course, I lost it immediately after finding it. Assistant director of player development.
Right.
And this is Terry Francona's son.
Right.
Gabe.
No, Nick.
No. Gabe Kapler is his boss.
Okay.
Right. His son is Nick Francona.
Okay, Nicholas.
Nick Francona is a veteran. And he alleges that he was fired last year at the Dodgers after he sought help within the organization that treats veterans for so-called, quote, invisible wounds of war.
Mm-hmm.
So, interestingly enough, the Dodgers have tried to settle with Francona over the past year. First, he was fired in March of last year. First, they offered him $40,000, which he turned down. Then they offered him $150,000, whenever his case got a little bit stronger. He turned that down as well, and he continued to speak out. Of course, the Dodgers have denied all the allegations, and basically they've told investigators that, listen, we fired him because he didn't get along with his boss, Gabe Kapler. There is some confusion here. There is disagreements here. It wasn't getting the job done. So we gave him the opportunity to either resign or be terminated. He chose to get terminated in order to pick up the remaining year in his contract.
Yeah.
And now he's obviously speaking out. MLB should officially have this report done within the next week. Francona went to Wharton and then went into the Marines after that. So I just thought it was a very interesting story. From a baseball lifer, Terry Francona, his son.
How was he discriminated against, he said?
Well, maybe he's probably because he's a
veteran. He was discriminated.
A veteran, and then you got to think, he probably came to them with some kind of mental health thing, and they didn't help him.
That's correct. He offered to help him, and then instead of helping him, he got fired.
Exactly.
The Dodgers should just clean this up.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. They obviously offered him a lot of money to just get rid of this, and he didn't. So it's an interesting story to follow, which we'll do here on the Roto Experts. We'll be back, talk some more baseball, cut up next. Good discussion on Francona there, gentlemen. And I want to get back into baseball here. Final few minutes of baseball stuff, and we'll break it down here as we tend to do. Because I want to talk about Zach Godley, who, you know, Nando, you heard from him a little while ago. Nando said Zach Godley's my new man crush. And Zach Godley last night put 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, struck out 6. The ERA for Zach Godley on the year is now 2.25. He has started twice for this team, I believe. His first start, lit up 2 runs. Yesterday, lit up 1 run. Zach Godley, is he somebody that we need to be monitoring, Matt Modica?
In 15 teams, yes. I don't know about for the long run. I've seen him come up in the past, have some good starts with Arizona, and it just, you know, I don't know. I'm really not a Zach Godley guy. But for a 15-teamer, I'm interested. 12-team-teamer, not yet. I'm not touching him.
Career K per 9, 8.59. Career ERA, 4.21 with a 4.27 FIP.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, still young, though, no, Scotty?
He's 27.
Yeah, that's not
that's what I was saying. I thought he was younger, to be honest. Yeah,
he spent a lot of time in the minor leagues.
I thought he was younger.
Yeah, he's like almost a career minor leaguer.
Pretty much.
Fair enough. For the D-backs last night, you had Nick Amanda hit his second home run. Yasmani Tomas has been kind of cold lately, hit his sixth, while Brandon Drury hit his second. Drury, you guys talked about him on Staccato and Angle earlier today. Up to 312, 353, but I had dropped him in a lead because I just felt like he wasn't doing anything.
Well, he's hitting for average, but he's just the nothing counting else. Numbers aren't there that you would expect. But again, you know, to Matt Modica's point, you know, his profile definitely calls for more power. It's what we've seen last year, you know, especially late. So I think you have to be patient. And look, if he's going to go cold in the counting numbers and still give you a 312 average, I'll take that.
And how about Paul Goldschmidt? Since the All-Star break last season, in 462 plate appearances, has 30 stolen bases and has only been caught 3 times.
The Goldschmidt thing is crazy. He has 9 stolen bases on May 10th.
I'm telling you, the guy should be in talk for going 1-1.
He did
7
go
home runs
in some
and
9 weeks.
Stolen bases. I don't know. Why is this guy not somebody that goes 1-1? I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing. I guess last season people got a little nervous. Maybe even myself, because the profile of the ground balls were definitely coming up. And he only hit, 24 homers? Maybe people were starting to worry about
the power. Did
the
average come down, too?
Yeah, but I think everybody was kind of thinking the stolen bases, which I honestly thought. I think he had 32 last year. I was like, yeah, 2020 seems like that should be done. That should be a done deal. But I really wasn't buying 30 homers. I wasn't buying 30 stolen bases. I was buying like a 300 average. I mean, he's still a great player, but like you said, now he's got 9 stolen bases already.
And people didn't think much about the team around him, too. Sure. So that's part of that negative profile. But when you're getting 20 to plus stolen bases from a first baseman, that's so unique.
It's so unique, and I didn't think it was something you could count on. Clearly, I was wrong about that. For the Tigers yesterday, not much going on. Nick Castellanos has 7 errors on the year. Batted cleanup behind Miguel Cabrera yesterday. 248 average with a 319 OBP. He was struggling a couple of weeks ago. We all kind of said, wait, and he hasn't snapped out of it quite yet.
I still think there's better times for Castellanos ahead. You know, you've seen some of the hits here and there. I think, he's going to heat up. We saw him play real well last year before the wrist injury. I'm still buying in on Castellanos.
It's a shame that he's in Arizona and not taking advantage of this. I'm still going to be a believer. I mean, the guy, I don't know if it's still today, but he has been leading MLB in hard hit percentage. And that's one of the things we all look at. It's a key stat. So if you're hitting the ball hard,
it's going to come.
I'm still going to have faith.
By the way, another thing in Detroit too is that Jim Aducci's hitting like .318, and in center field they really haven't discovered that the solution to that problem. When JD Martinez comes back, Aducci might be able to stay in the lineup.
And there's another thing in this game. Annabelle Sanchez. I don't know how
he's gonna get DFA'd. Is what's gonna happen?
Yeah, I don't know how they just keep rolling this guy out.
Yeah,
there's another guy. How is he still pitching?
That's 100% true. Yeah. But Matt Boyd's name that I brought up to you guys earlier this week is someone we should pick up. 6 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs, walk 3, strikeout 6 though.
Yeah.
Look, it's Arizona. It wasn't like the easiest match.
No. Yeah,
he's had one bad start this year, but otherwise he's been pretty serviceable.
He really has.
He's the definition of a back end of the rotation guy.
And back end of the regular rotation or fantasy rotation?
Well, I mean, actually both, I would think. I mean, in the 12-teamer, there's guys like a Boyd or a Joe Musgrove. Who would you rather have? I think that's like a good combo.
Musgrove had a good start yesterday.
Joe Musgrove.
By the way, there's no such thing as a fantasy.
I was thinking about
mother effort.
There's no such thing as a fantasy rotation.
Oh, can we do this thing again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fantasy staff, whatever. Let's just stick to the starters for a second. We're not going to worry about the relief pitchers or anything like that. But when you're looking at, say, your fifth, sixth, or seventh, I mean, these are guys that you're going to have in that conversation.
I'm with you. And
you want them to not hurt you and maybe give you a little bit of upside.
Joe Musgrove was a guy I effing dropped after everyone yelled at me for the
whole
game. You know what? He pitched fine. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, walk 3, strikeout 4. Like, the whip would have hurt me, obviously, yesterday with those 3 walks and problem with Joe Musgrove is I think the upside is gone. At least the reason I drafted him, I thought there's a lot of upside there. I don't feel it anymore.
I don't think. Turn your mic on.
I don't think it's gone. I just don't think it's there yet. You know, maybe this kid is a year away. You know, we see this for a lot of young pitchers, but in that same game, Carlos Correa has really started to heat up. In Carlos Correa's last 16 games, he's hitting over .380 with 10 doubles and 3 home runs.
The AL MVP this year. But just getting back to that, what you were saying, like a Joe Musgrove. I think Joe Musgrove gets put in a package and he gets traded. Houston's going to add some pitching.
They have a shot at this thing.
Yeah, yes. Terrific bullpen, by the way. No Davinsky yesterday. Gregerson, who we've seen close, gets a hold. Will Harris, who we've seen closes, gets a hold. This team has a good bullpen.
Very good bullpen. And it's something they worked very, very hard at here. And they figured out a way to stack the bullpen. The lineup's very good. They need somebody with Dallas Keuchel on top of that rotation. And Lance McCullers, of course.
And Ken Giles, I think, had like an 11-pitch save. So, hallelujah. You want to see that as a Ken Giles owner.
100%. For the Bravos yesterday, Freddie Freeman just continues his assault on the league. His 12th home run of the year. Freddie Freeman's OBP Corey at .457. He's just a dude that, I know people question him coming into the year, and I don't get why, but because this guy's unbelievable.
Freddie Freeman's a baller. There's nothing to see here. Keep it pushing.
He's totally locked in this year. It's just a pleasure to watch.
Look at what he's got around. I mean, Enciarte setting the table, Brandon Phillips in the 2-hole, and you get Freeman, and then you got Matt Kemp behind that. That's a nice 4 right there to get things rolling. Fred Freeman really taking advantage of it.
The wonderful thing about Freeman is, though, when he's had nobody around him in the lineup, he's still getting it done. Yeah.
He's a baller.
He's I don't think anybody's doubting him anymore.
I don't think so either. There's simply nothing to doubt.
He's my guy.
Yeah, and plus, this new home ballpark they have is really favorable to hitters.
Yeah, as we've seen, which is it's funny because they kept telling us it's the same dimensions as Turner Field, and Turner Field is not a hitter's ballpark. This is.
Well, and the thing about that is, like Scott said, right center is really playing great. If you're a left-handed hitter or a righty that does hit the ball to the right center, But they are still doing construction behind the stadium, so things at some point might still change.
Going over quickly now to the Cubs and the Rockies, it's interesting because Jerry Marquez pitched 8 shutout innings against the Cubs with 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 walk in Colorado. Like, what the hell just happened?
This is 2 shutouts in 2 days in Colorado. The other one coming from
so
the other
glad
side.
I don't do that DFS thing. Stack your Rockies. Scores 3-0.
Yeah, it was interesting for Lackey the other day. Seven innings. No, yeah, 7 innings and 10 Ks. The last guy to do that in Colorado was Pedro Martinez 20 years ago. So this is kind of rare stuff that we're seeing in Colorado. But right now it's with the Cubs, it's like they've lost 5 of their last 6 with no offense. And you know, they're talking about hitting and putting Anthony Rizzo in the top spot of the lineup just to get him going.
Yeah, this is a team that is totally unbalanced right now. They're sitting at 500, are the Cubbies. It's 17-17. The Rockies, 22-13.
The best 35-game start in club history.
Really?
And by the way,
they've been in the playoffs before, right?
And the World Series before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is the best start they've had after 35 games. And also, you know, Holland picking up another save. He is the second fastest to 14 saves in franchise history. Jose Jimenez in 2002 was the quickest.
That stunk.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the Cubs go, I'm not concerned. Yeah, yeah, it's World Series hangover. That division, they're going to run away with it, in my opinion. I don't see how they don't eventually. Kyle Hendricks, whose velo has been dropping, goes to Coors and pitches really well.
That's another crazy thing. 7 strikeouts, just 2 earned runs allowed, 3 total, 4 hits, 6 innings of work for Kyle Hendricks, who, in all honesty, I wouldn't have started. If I owned Kyle Hendricks and I could bench him this week, I would have.
I had him on. Bench Arrieta this week because he went to Coors.
That was smart. I worked out okay, obviously. So, very, very interesting. As you said, Joe Maddon trying to do whatever he can to get this, to get this lineup going. Kyle Schwarber still batting under 200. And I got to ask you guys about J.R. Candelario. Like, I didn't even know who this guy was. And now he's batting cleanup for the Cubs. What?
They have so many good young players. And, you know, after that Sunday night marathon, they need to get guys in. I don't know if he's going to stay up. I don't see it. They have too many mouths to feed. So I don't think this is a long-term thing.
He might be
thing.
Going back.
Yeah, he's a guy that he'll be in the future, but not right now. The other guy batting, the other first baseman, I mean, Scott was on him, and he's been, I mean, his numbers as a Rocky is just amazing.
Mark Reynolds.
I mean, you've got to stop believing. He's batting close to 300 since he's been a Rocky. The strikeout percentage is down.
It's crazy. Mark Reynolds is averaging at 336, while Carlos Gonzalez sits at 188.
This week, he had 3 home runs in 3 games. He had not done that since 2008.
Mark Reynolds, the Renaissance Ding. Continues. What was that?
Ding.
Ding, yes.
To my Tout Wars team.
Ding, ding, ding. Hey, we got like 5 minutes left. Come back. We wrap up the show. I'm getting sent you into the old school fantasy hour. We'll be back.
There you go. He got it. Greg, you can't do nothing with this right here. This is the air guitar genius right here. He's getting close to the mic now. He about to hit a tune for you now.
I'm waiting for the tune. You're just waiting for me to say something. They just point to
it. God is like the Napoleon Dynamite of air.
Buildings tower to the sky and it's out of sight.
Hey.
In a dead night.
Hey, you get the party started, Greg. You ain't up on that.
No. By the way, quick couple of baseball notes today. Your boy Hanley Ramirez out of the lineup today, Corey. He was forced from yesterday with that trapezius muscle injury. He's day-to-day. He will not play today.
There you go. Try to get some rest for his traps.
Yes, he'll try to get...
Still ain't playing no trap music
yet. Hey, I have to wonder, by the way, because this game, I believe, is in Miller Park, right? There, is in
yes,
Milwaukee.
It is.
So, was yesterday his first time playing first base all year?
Oh, that could have been. I'm not sure how many games.
So that could also be part of the injury. He hasn't played first all year. They've avoided playing first. Now he played first, and there you go. interestingly enough. Also, out of the starting lineup today is Lorenzo Cain. It's a day off for KC. And Steven Souza also still out of the lineup with that thumb injury. Tipped out for a couple days. No Steven Souza for the Rays today against Jason Vargas.
As a Jason Vargas owner, I'm not happy that Lorenzo Cain is out. I want his defense in center field. I don't want to see Jorge Soler in right field.
Yeah, Vargas has been pretty good regardless, though. You know, and be good to see him on the mound again for the Royals. It's like Jason Hamill yesterday. It's just like I thought he was going to be good. He's a complete disaster. I thought he would at least be serviceable. Career high 13 hits allowed, and they have lost all but one of his starts this year.
Good
he's
news.
Cuttable.
Kevin Kiermaier moved up to the seventh spot today. Just so
baby steps.
He's
baby
having
steps.
Problems in the field too.
Yeah, Kiermaier is letting everything get to him. A couple of football notes that I want to get to before we wrap up, because the OG is talking a lot of football today on the program. Blaine Gabbert has a job, Corey.
Yes, Blaine Gabbert has a job, and Colin Kaepernick does not.
It's true. Just want to make that clear. Gabbert, and we had a feeling this would happen because of this deadline for compensatory picks. You have Gabbert now has a job, and Michael Floyd Modica also has a job. He's in Minnesota.
Yeah, Michael Floyd has a job, and what happens if he beats out Laquon Treadwell for the number 3 spot?
What will that
very likely could happen. I think they signed him because, you know, they're very worried about, you know, the lack of progress that Treadwell showed last year.
I don't know. You talk to some of these draft gurus, they'll tell you Treadwell would have been one of the top wide receivers in this year's draft class. So we got to see what they talk. Him and Doxon, they still in love with these guys.
Some of these guys, though, you know, it takes a few years to get to that level. They don't all hit right away.
Yep. What do you guys think of what the Patriots did putting on the tender to the running back? I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
Oh, Blunt. Like,
yeah, Blunt.
Second round tender, you know, if he signs before July 22nd, They get a second round pick back. If not, he can't negotiate with anybody but the Patriots until week 10. So it's put Blunt kind of in a position here.
Mm. It has, but I think the Patriots got to do that as a franchise. It's not right, and that's all.
That is very rarely used. That tag,
and that's all on the NFL Players Union.
The union has
Blunt
to do a better job than that.
Blunt hasn't signed until now, though. Now that's kind of restricts him. Who wants to give up a second round pick for Blunt?
Some other interesting news that I found was Tajay Sharpe got pissed off that Corey Davis was drafted, so they beat up a guy that made fun of him about it.
We're going to talk about that in old school.
The story is that he was in a bar and some guy allegedly said to him, "Hey, your playing time is going to get reduced because they drafted Corey Davis," and they told the guy to follow him outside, him and one of his teammates, and allegedly he beat the guy up while his teammate played lookout.
Yeah, well, he got upset because he got to lose his job. I feel bad for him.
He's not going to lose his job, though. Well, he is now.
Hey, that's going to do it for us. The Royal Rascals of the morning. Old School Fantasy with Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and George Kurtz is up next. For Maddie, for Scotty, and for Corey, my name is Greg Sussman. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we will see you right back here tomorrow on a Friday edition of the Royal Rascals of the morning. Bye-bye, everybody.